Hey, good morning. You can be seated. Y'all good today? Man, it is so good to be here. I've been traveling for like 2 weeks, and just one day I traveled for 13 hours. Traveling is fun until it's not. Amen? Right, man. So it's good to be here. If you guys didn't know, today's Father's Day, right? So happy Father's Day, men. This is a day set aside all the way back in 1910 to honor and appreciate and to celebrate the fathers in our lives. And so this morning, we truly thank God for the godly men, the dads, the granddads, the foster dads, the spiritual dads in our lives. When we think about spiritual dads, these are men who God uses to connect you to Jesus, to help you grow and walk with God. And church, I believe if you're a dad in here today, you're to be a spiritual dad. We don't hand that responsibility off to someone else. You need to be that spiritual dad. The Bible is very clear in Deuteronomy 6, Proverbs 22, Psalm 8, Ephesians 6, just to name a few, that we as fathers, we are to first walk, know and love and walk with God, and then show our kids how to do the same. Man, I'm going to tell you, when our kids see our lives, they need to see that our faith in Jesus is the real deal. We've got a God-given responsibility to teach them from God's word and how to know and follow Jesus. And so dads, men, God has given us a huge and amazing responsibility and privilege. And here's the reality, church. We know that in this world, it's not easy to be a godly man. It's not. And so let's be after it. Let's be intentional. Let's be in the word. Let's be men of prayer, right? And let's allow the Lord to use us in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in our families. And today, we just want to also just think about spiritual dads in the idea of what we see in 1st and 2nd Timothy and also in Titus. We see this with Paul. Timothy and Titus were not his children, right? He was not their foster dad. He was not their uncle. He was not their grandpa, but he was their spiritual dad. And we know that Timothy's mom was a Christian, his grandma was a Christian, but his dad was not. And Paul was very intentional about coming alongside Timothy and even Titus and discipling them and helping them grow in their walk with Christ. And so men, if you're here today, even if you don't have children, I promise you, God will use you to see others come to know Christ and help them grow in their walk with Christ. Man, I'm telling you, man, this city, this nation, this world needs more godly men who will step up, men who will walk with God, men who will walk with others and be men of prayer. And so on this special day, from me to you, happy Father's Day. And just as we did with moms and spiritual moms last month, ladies and kiddos, pray for these men. Wives, pray for your husbands. Kids, pray for your dads and spiritual dads. I do want to say this as I was writing this out. I know Father's Day, sometimes pastors are like, all right, men, let's go, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, I look out at men in our church and I see godly men. I see godly men who are walking with God, who love their wives well, love their children well, love their grandchildren well. What a privilege it is today to say that we've got a church full of godly men, right? Let's be encouraged today, men. Let's be encouraged today and let's keep at it. Amen, church? All right. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Psalm chapter 108. Psalm 108. As I was studying and praying and asking God what psalm to preach from for today, the Lord led me to this specific psalm, and I think we'll see why as we walk through it. But this is a cool psalm. This is a unique psalm that God led David, King David, to write. And it's unique because it's actually a combination of two psalms that David wrote earlier in his life. The first half of this psalm is taken from part of Psalm 57. The second half is written from Psalm 60. And so when we look back, David writes Psalm 57 before he becomes king. He's at a point that he already knows he's going to be king. God has already, he's already been anointed to be king. He's already got that calling on his life, but he's not king yet. But in this particular Psalm 57, David's life was on the line because the current king, King Saul, was hunting him down. And here's an important truth to know as we walk through all of this study today. David knows. He is aware of the danger. He knows he's being pursued. He knows he's in trouble. He knows he's in a battle, really, for his life. But more importantly, when you read Psalm 57, David knows a better truth. He knows that the Lord God is with him. And he writes about how he is seeking refuge in the Lord while real physical danger surrounds him. The other psalm that David uses here in Psalm 108 is from Psalm 60. And this psalm is written while David is now king. He's now King David, and he writes Psalm 60 when he and his nation are at war. If you know much about David, you know he's a great military leader, right? And they are in battle. David's army is on the northern battle, and they are fighting, and they're having victory in that battle. Things are going well. But David gets some really bad news. Because as David and his army are fighting up north, Edom is attacking Israel at their southern border. And most of their military is up at the north. And so while David is in an expected battle, he's now faced with an unexpected battle. And all of that is important as we read through and study Psalm 108 together. Church, we're going to have battles that we know of, and then things are going to pop up. Amen, church, right? You live more than 10 minutes, you know things are going to pop up. And we don't really know when David wrote Psalm 108, but it became a powerful song to be sung, and it became a prayer to be prayed. It was looked at as somewhat of a national anthem and even as a national prayer, but also a personal anthem and a personal prayer. Here's a reality for all of us, church. God created you and me. He created all of us to be a singing people. He created all of us to be a praying people. If you're not a singing person, you're not a praying person, I'm just going to say it, you're not living the life God has called you to, right? We are a praying and a singing people. And a lot of times, songs and prayers, especially songs that we sing, man, they are written during hard times. They're written during hard times. The prayers we prayed are prayed during hard times. I think about our own nation. I think about our nation in 2001. I remember where I was when our nation faced the tragedy of 9/11. For most of us, this was an unexpected tragedy and battle. And if we look back, this tragedy caused us to do two things as people. What did we do? We sang and we prayed. If you were there, right, if you remember, we sang and we prayed. What did we sing? We sang the national anthem a little bit louder. We wrote songs to describe how we feel and how much we support our military. We sang God Bless America with feeling from our hearts. And as a nation, more and more people didn't know where to go, and so they turned to God and they prayed. And that's what this Psalm 108 is and what it became for the king, David. It's what this became for the warriors and for the people of their nation, a song and a prayer. To sing and pray together and as individuals. And here's what was happening, church. When they prayed this, when they sang this, they were showing their confidence in who God is, no matter the battle that awaited them. Individuals began singing and praying this psalm as they faced the battles of the day, expected or unexpected. Church, sometimes you and I, we wake up in the morning and we know there's a battle that awaits us. All our battles look different, don't they? But sometimes you wake up thinking it's going to be a really good day, and then a battle comes. The army, the warriors, they would sing and pray this psalm together in the morning. Why? Because they wanted to do it before they went into battle. The individual soldier and the everyday people of God would pray this as they began their day, knowing they would face battles and conflicts that were known and unknown. And so this psalm is 13 verses. So we're going to begin by reading together the first 6 verses. So would you guys mind standing, and we'll do that. You guys follow along either in the Bible, in your Bibles, or up on the screen. But we're going to read the first 6 verses. Here's what God's Word says to us this morning. David writes this. He says, "My heart is confident, God. I will sing. I will sing praises with the whole of my being. Wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God, be exalted above the heavens, and let your glory be over the whole earth. Save with your right hand and answer me so that those you love may be rescued. Father, we stand here today to glorify you. We are here today to make much of Jesus. We're here today because you are worthy. God, I pray, Lord, today that you would be glorified, that everything that comes out of my mouth, Lord, would you lead me? And God, all of us as a church, those that are here in person, those that are online, God, would we be humble? Would we hear from you? And God, would you convict us and pierce our heart where we need it? Would you encourage us where we need it? Father, be in charge today. We pray this in the mighty, powerful name of our Savior Jesus, and all of God's people together said, amen. You can be seated. The pastor from the 1800s named Charles Spurgeon, you guys have heard me quote him many times, and I love what he said about this psalm. When he looks at Psalm 108, he said, "We have before us the warrior's morning song, in which he adores his God and strengthens his heart before entering the conflicts of the day." Church, this psalm was and is for all God's people. It was for King David as he was leading his army and making decisions. It was for him to sing and pray. It was for the warriors and soldiers to sing and pray before they went into battle. It was for the everyday people in their nation to sing and pray. It was for you and me to sing and pray. It's for all of us who face battles in our lives. Church, I'm just going to say, I think we've all faced battles or will face battles. So this psalm is for us. Battles that are unknown and known, expected and unexpected. For King David, before he faced the battles or the conflicts or the enemies of the day, he starts his day with this psalm. David was leading his soldier into a real physical battle. Now, some of us are entering into military battles. Watch the news the last couple days. We see what's going on in our world. Men and women in our church that are part of our military, we are praying for you. Just know that. But there are people that are entering into military battles. But most of us are not walking out to go into war. Amen, church? But all of us face real and everyday battles. All of us, as children of God, are facing spiritual battles. If you're a child of God, you're facing spiritual battles. If you're not a child of God, if you've not surrendered your life to Christ, I promise you, you're facing a spiritual battle. You just may not be aware of it, because the enemy of God, the enemy of you, the liar, the cheater, the stealer, he wants to keep you from Jesus. We're in a spiritual battle. We all have battles at work. We have battles in school. We have battles as we drive in Tucson. Amen. I feel like we need armored cars and driving in Tucson. We have battles with our health. We have difficulties in our relationships. We all go through hard things. But it's important for us to know as God's people that all of us are in spiritual battles. Because of this, Ephesians 6, God uses Paul to command us, not suggest, but to command that we put on and keep on the whole armor of God. As we walk with him and stand firm against the enemy and his schemes. Why are we in a spiritual battle? Revelation 12 says it well. It says Satan rages because he knows his days are short. And so God reminds us over and over in his word, walk with him, keep our eyes on him, pray to him, trust in him, be with God's people as we face these battles. But maybe today, you know, you're here today and this is timely because you're battling through a relationship that you need to keep battling for. Maybe you're in a battle in your job or with your health. Maybe it's a struggle emotionally that's God saying, don't give up, keep battling, I'm with you. And so David answers the question for us. Men, fathers, warriors, ladies, young people, how do we start our day and where do we look when we face these challenges? Psalm 108 shows us that we're to face these days and we're to fight our battles with praise and with prayer. With praise and with prayer. Psalm 108 is the warrior's morning song. It shows us what to sing and what to pray and where our confidence should be as we face these battles. Look with me to verse 1. David writes this. He said, he's talking to God, he's writing this psalm. He said, "My heart is confident, God. I will sing praises with the whole of my being. I love this church. From the very get-go, David is voicing his confidence in who God is. He knows that he's singing to and praying to the one that he can trust. Listen, church, David doesn't come to God with doubt. David doesn't come to God with uncertainty. He comes to God knowing who he is, knowing what God has done, and knowing that he can trust him. In your notes, you're going to see four truths that we find here in Psalm 108. And the first truth is this: as we face very real and everyday battles, no matter what it is, we must be confident in who God is. We must be confident in who God is. I'm just going to encourage you, church, this is a really good way to start the songs that you sing or the prayers that you pray. God, because of who you are. God, because of what you've done. God, because you are strong and mighty and good and faithful. My heart is confident. My heart is steadfast. And I love that word, to be confident. It also means to be determined. David is about to say, we're going to see that I will do this and I will do that. Why does he say those things? Because he's confident in God. We can wake up in the morning and say with confidence, God, I will trust you today because you alone are God. David knows that battles are coming. He knows that other battles might surprise him, but his confidence remains in God alone because, again, of who God is. You know, God, when we fight our battles, God is the ultimate warrior. He's the one who is always victorious. God, my heart is confident. Can you say that with me, church? God, my heart is confident. Now let's say it like we mean it. Can we do that? God, my heart is confident. For you and me, think about this. David is writing this on one side of the cross. He knows the Savior's coming, but Jesus hasn't come yet. We're saying this on the other side of the cross. We had a problem. We had a battle. But as God promised, a Savior came. And we know that Jesus came to be the Savior we needed. And he went to the cross on your behalf, on my behalf. Guess what he did, church? He took the enemies of us. He took our sins on that cross. And he died paying the price that you and I owed because of our sin. That song says, the devil thought he had me. Amen, church? The devil thought he had us, but Jesus defeated him. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated hell. We can have confidence in the Lord God, church. Let's try that again. We can have confidence in the Lord God, church. If we don't know what amen means, it means really in one accord, and we are agreeing, okay? Are we good? All right. We can have confidence in God. When you pray or sing, have confidence. When we gather and pray and sing together, do so with confidence. When you're driving down the road and you're worshiping, don't worry about what you look like. Man, you sing and pray to God with confidence. Church, I'm going to encourage you. Let's put aside the wimpy singing. Let's put aside the wimpy singing. Let's put aside the timid prayers. Our God is good. He is powerful. He is in charge. He is over all, and he loves you. Let's have confidence in our God, church. And then next, look at his confidence. Look at his determination as he faces these battles. He says, the battle rages around me, but God, I will sing. I will sing praises with the whole of my being. Verse 2, I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, amongst the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Since it's Father's Day, Dad, Granddad, spiritual dad, foster dad, men, you're going to face challenges. You're going to face battles. You're going to be challenged to not walk with God. You're going to be tempted to not stand firm and be a man of God. But David is saying, as men of God, be confident in him and be determined in how you're going to live and walk that day. And here's the reality for all of us. Be confident not in you. Man, us men can be prideful beings, can't we? Man, we think we're strong, we've got it all together. Be confident not in you. Be confident not in your circumstance. Be confident not in your power or your ability, but be confident in the God who made you, sustained you, and saved you. And be determined. David says, start your day. determined to praise God. Be determined to worship God. And it's not just men, it's ladies, it's young people. Because of who God is, you've heard this saying before, but it's so true. Don't look at the size of your battle. Don't look at the size of your enemy. Look at the size and the power and the strength of your God. Be confident in him. Be determined to praise him. And so as we continue to read, here's truth number two from Psalm 108. As you face your battles, known and unknown, start your day, start your battles by being determined to worship God. Be determined to worship God. Men, sometimes, I'm just going to speak to us real quick. You don't have to amen. You don't have to raise your hand. Sometimes we think it's not the manly thing to do to sing. But let me remind us this morning that God created you to be a singing man. He created you to worship him with your voice. Scripture not only commands or encourages, but it commands us to sing to and about God. This psalm teaches us that we are, all of the psalms teach us that we're to sing old songs and new songs. And all throughout history, strong men of God have been singing men. When you look at God's word and you see strong men of God, they were singing men, church. Men who worship God, not only with their lives and their words and their actions, but with their singing. All of us, church, we're going to be tempted by our own flesh to not sing, especially when we're in a battle. And I'm going to promise you, church, the devil will try to get you to shut your mouth when you're in a battle and not sing. But David is saying to us this morning, let's send those temptations, let's send the devil away by our singing, church. David says, I will sing. Know this, the devil hates when God's people sing. And he hates it even more when we sing together. But David's response to that is, I don't care, devil, right? All the more reason for us to sing and for us to sing together and to sing confidently and courageously and loud. That's part of what God calls us to do as a church family. We get to come here today and we see each other, we encourage each other, we fist bump each other, we hug each other, we pray together, we open God's word to be equipped. We have to do those things. But it's also Jesus' design for us to come together to sing to and about our Lord. By the way, you don't like singing, you ain't gonna like heaven. Our time of singing was never meant for us just to watch the gifted. It's time for all of us to participate in singing to our amazing God. I'm fired up this morning, church. Pastor Charles didn't let me preach for 2 weeks. All right. Church, it is our job to join the worship team. Their job is not to sing for us. Their job is to prepare their hearts and to practice and be ready. Justin's job and the team in the back, their job is to use their gifts to lead us as we worship him together. And so as we sing together, but we also sing and worship personally in our homes. Sing in your car, sing in the shower, sing in your office, sing wherever you are, church. Let's sing. And David says in verse 1, I will sing praises with the whole of my being. Let me be super clear, church. I'm going to be honest with you. It may not be your thing, but I wish we had a little more hand raising going on in here. Right? I wish we had a little more moving and swaying. I wish we had a little more loud voice. Man, I want to hear us sing, church. Right? God does not want our half-hearted praises. We're to praise him from the depths of our soul. David tells us in verse 2 that he's ready and he's eager to give praise early in the morning. He says, wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. David not only wants to sing with his whole heart, he wants to use his instruments. He wants us to be big church, right? He wants a joyful noise to the Lord. And I love the words that he says. I just love just really studying this. He says, I will wake up the dawn. I will wake up the dawn. It's normally the dawn that wakes you up. The light starts to come into our homes, into our rooms, through the blinds, and it wakes us up, and we get mad. But David says, I'm going to get a head start. I want to wake up the dawn with my praise to God. I'm starting the day before the day starts with worshiping my God. So we praise him wholeheartedly. We praise him early. We praise him before, during, and after the battle. Church, David isn't waiting for the trials. He isn't waiting for the battles. He starts his day with the Lord. By the way, church, if you're not already, I'd encourage you to start your day this way. God, before I read this text message, God, before I check my inbox, God, before I read my social media, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise my confidence in you. I promise you, church, I've been that guy. As your pastor, I would wake up in the morning and I would read your text messages. I would read the emails. I would read those things and my day started heavy. I changed that. God changed it in me. Because when I start my day now, I start my day with the Lord. I keep my eyes closed and I pray and I worship God. I'd encourage you to do the same. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to place my confidence in you. I promise you, church, it changes your entire day when you start by placing your confidence in Him and praising Him. When we look at our text messages, when we look at our emails, when we listen to the news, when we do whatever it is, we can start our day feeling defeated. Or we can start the day praising the one who is the defeater, who is victorious over every battle. I think we know the answer to that. The challenge is will we be challenged enough, encouraged enough, motivated enough to change the way we start our day? And so David sings courageously. He sings early. He sings from the depths of who he is. He sings praises for others to hear. Verse 3, I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Let me tell you, church, as your pastor, the world lies to you. In case you didn't know that, you probably didn't need me to say that today. We could wear a t-shirt, couldn't we? The world tells you to keep your faith to yourself, but our God says don't keep it to yourselves. When we worship Him, when we praise Him, David says, I want the whole world to hear it. I want the people that He's placed around me to hear it. I want the nations to hear it. Church, our nation needs to hear who God is, who Jesus is, and what He's done. More than anything else we want to share, they need to know who God is. They don't need to know where you got your 401k. They don't need to know who your politician is. They don't need to know your number one song or your number one meme. They need to know who God is. They need to know that we mean it. Our world needs to hear from you and me who He is and how much He loves them. They need to hear from our lips what Jesus has done for us and for them. They need to hear that we're confident in God. They need to see and hear the real desire in us. David is saying, I can't hide it. I won't hide it because the world needs to hear it. We live in a world, church, that places their confidence in and they praise people and leaders and entertainers and politicians. We often place our confidence and we praise political leaders and ideas, but David is king. He is the government and he's saying, I'm not confident in me, in my policies, or any of the people with me. I am singing not to me. I'm confident in God who is over all things and I'm determined to worship Him and praise Him with my whole heart from the start of the day through every trial for every ear to hear. Come on, church. And when the battle surrounds David, when certainty surrounds David, why is he so confident? Why is he praising? Verse 4 through 6 tells us, he says, for your God, your faithful love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Why do we sing? Because even when we're not, our God is faithful. Because God's faithful love and His faithfulness is beyond measure. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good and His steadfast love endures. How long, church? Forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. If you don't know this passage, you need to know this passage. Paul writes in Romans 8:38 through 39, it says this. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, nothing in life, nothing in this world, no person, no idea, no thing can separate you and me from God's love. That's a good word today. Maybe you're sitting here today and say, man, I don't feel it today. You need to know God loves you, church, and it ain't going anywhere. Jesus came and He gave His life for you and He rose again, church, and He calls you and me. He says, don't keep walking in your sin. Follow me. Turn from your sin. Follow Jesus because of His love for you. Why should you praise God wholeheartedly and early and confidently and for the whole world to hear? Because when you and I deserve nothing, Can we say that? I deserve nothing. Let's just practice that. It's really good. It helps us humble ourselves. I deserve nothing. But he loved us completely, entirely, and gave his life for us so that we could be with him for eternity. Church, that love doesn't make sense to us, but that's what he did. In Psalm 63, David was running for his life. You know what he was doing? He's running in the desert for his own life. Why? Because his own son gathered soldiers to chase him down and kill him. That's a bad day. But David says, God, my lips will praise you, especially now, because I have your faithful love. And your faithful love toward me is greater than anything else this world could ever give me. When the battle awaits us, when the unknown battle surprises us, we praise and we worship God because of who he is and because of his faithful love. He says in verse 5, God, be exalted above the heavens and let your glory be over the whole earth. Save with your right hand and answer me so that those you love may be rescued. Don't miss this. Soldiers, warriors, men, fathers, ladies, young people, people of God, why do we praise and worship him? Why do we have confidence in him? Because we are in his hands. He is the Lord over all. He is never not in control. He never stops loving us. He is the rescuer and the savior. That's who he is. And church, let me tell you today, if you don't know and follow Jesus, if there's not been a time in your life that you've surrendered your life to Jesus and called on him to be your rescuer, your savior for your sins, and the Lord of your life, you need to know from this passage right here who God is and how much he loves you. There is no one that ever has or ever will love you like he's loved you. And no matter what battle you face, he wants you to know that he came for you because he came to defeat your greatest enemy, which is sin and death. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, trust in him. He's the best Lord you'll ever have. He's the only Lord that reigns. He is the rescuer of your life. Verse 5, David begins praying to God. He's showing us he's confident in God. He's determined to worship God. And in verse 5, the verse we just read, David prays to God. He's singing, now he's praying. He prays that God would be exalted and glorified. Too often we pray me-centered prayers. Think about how often you pray and how you start praying. We pray me-centered prayers. Even while knowing that there's a very real battle around him and that awaits him, he first prays a God-centered prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray that way in what we often call the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer that Jesus gives us, and he shows us that we are praying to our Father in heaven. But then Jesus says, pray, hallowed be your name. When we pray about his name, we're praying about who he is. In other words, we should pray, God, your name is set apart. God, your name is holy. God, you are above all. You are to be known and glorified and worshiped in my life and in this world. When the battle around us rages, pray God-centered prayers. Because when we pray in that way, our mind and our hearts are focused on the one we need. We're focused on the one who is in control instead of on the problems that we have. Church, if you struggle with anxiety, this helps you set aside anxiety because we're focused not on the storm or the battle or what we can't control, but we're focusing on the king and ruler over all, church. David also prays a relational prayer. He's praying about God's saving those that God loves. God loves you and he loves to hear from you. God is ready to hear from you, church. And then when we get to verses 7-9, David prays focusing on the promises of God. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, God has spoken in his sanctuary. In other words, we can trust what God has already said. When we read the word of God, church, we can trust what he says and that he will do it, church. God has spoken in the sanctuary. He says, I will celebrate. I will divide up Shechem. I will appoint the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. And Ephraim is my helmet. And Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Listen to this. I love it. I throw my sandal at Edom. I shout in triumph over Philistia. These are all lands that God has already promised to Israel, and David and Israel face a threat from other nations. David steps back from those threats and he said, I can be confident in God. I can praise God. I can pray to God. Why? Because I trust him. I trust what he says. Why does David say that? Because he keeps his word, church. Man, I love my wife and my kids with all my heart, and I try my best to keep my word, but sometimes I mess up. Amen? God doesn't mess up. He keeps his word. We're not going to be able to divide into everything that he's saying, but he's saying God promised these things, these places to us. We can trust him. Church, when we read his word and he says that something is going to happen, it's going to happen. He keeps his word as we face battles in this life, known and unknown. Truth number three from Psalm 108 is this. Be determined to pray to your God. Be determined to pray to God. When God says that he's going to be with you, that he'll be your refuge and strength, you can trust him. Are you in a battle right now? Is the world falling apart around you? God is your refuge and strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. You can trust that. When God says that he'll give you a way of escape when the temptation to sin comes, you can trust him. He'll give that to you. When God says that he will never leave you nor forsake you, guess what, church? Help me out. You can trust him. Let's try that again. Class participation today. When God says that he will never leave you or forsake you, guess what? You can trust him. When God says that if you trust in Jesus for salvation, that he'll forgive you of all of your sins and drop you in and adopt you into his family, guess what? Do y'all believe this? Let's try this again. He's going to adopt you into his family. When he says that, guess what, church? When Jesus says that we're saved, right? That if we're saved, that he's gone to prepare a place for us and that one day we will be with him forever. Guess what, church? We can trust him. When we're facing difficult decisions, God says that we can seek him for wisdom and that he'll give it to us. Guess what, church? When you're in a battle, we can trust God to be with us and lead us. When we wake up and we're expecting a good, normal day and the battle comes, we can trust God that he's still in control. Church, here's the point. David is praying during a time of battle when the threat of an enemy is very real, trying to conquer them and take their land. David prays and says, God, I trust you because you already promised these places to us. When we wake up in the morning knowing the battles are awaiting us, have confidence in God, worship God, praise God, and seek him in prayer, praying scripture and his promises out loud. Look at how confident David is. Edom has attacked Israel, and David says, I throw my sandal at Edom. I shout in triumph over Philistia. David says, Edom, you are no threat to my God. You come with your horses and your chariots and your weapons, but I throw my sandal at you. And for Philistia, I already shout in victory, my God's got this. And here's the thing, no matter what this world throws at us, if we are in Christ, if we are saved, even if the world throws its biggest thing at us, death our way, Jesus already has victory over death, and we get to be with him for eternity with no more pain, no more fear, no more tears, no more evil, no more wars, no more sin, no more anxiety, no more depression, no more battles, expected or unexpected. We have victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord, church. Battles will happen. Some will be expected, some are not. But let Psalm be an anthem and a prayer. Be confident in who God is. Be determined to worship him and to pray to him. Church, I promise you, the devil doesn't want you to pray. Dads, grandpas, spiritual dads, the devil doesn't want you to seek God in prayer. All the more reason to do it. To be the warrior, to be the man, to be the dad, to be the leader God wants you to be and calls you to be determined to be a worshiping man and a praying man. Ladies, young people, as we face each day and each battle, be determined to be a worshiping and a praying follower of God. Don't let the battle keep you from praying, church. Don't let your schedule keep you from praying. Don't let your habits keep you from praying. Don't let your phones keep you from praying. Don't let your fears or your doubts keep you from praying. Don't let the devil keep you from praying. Be determined to pray and pray with confidence, church. And we look at verse 10. David sings and prays, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? God Have you not rejected us, God? You do not march out with our armies. David is asking, who will grant this victory? Who will help me? Some people were getting the impression and the idea and saying that because of the military battles around them, that God might not be with them. But David, knowing that without God, they have no hope, knowing they need the Lord, David says to God in verse 12, give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless. God, we need you as we face this enemy. We need you as we face this battle. We need you as we face this day. We need you as we face this challenge. God, we need you. Give us what we need. Hear our prayers. And look at verse 13. Here it is. With God, we will perform valiantly. He will trample our foes. He says, we aren't doing this alone. We're not fighting alone. With God, we will perform valiantly. Valiantly means to have power and to have might and to have strength. It's to have all we need to accomplish the task or the mission to get through that battle. With God, not on your own, not in your own abilities, not with your own money or your position or your possessions. With God, we will perform, we will execute, we will accomplish our mission and make it through this battle valiantly. Church, as we face battles each day, expected and unexpected, have confidence in who God is, be determined to worship and to pray, and be courageous with God in our battles, church. One commentator said it this way: when we fight our battles, it is not our valiant deeds that win the day. It will be God and God alone who wins the day. Be courageous with God in our battles. Church, if you find yourself in a marriage that is struggling, pray confidently, God, I trust you. I will go to battle with you, but you alone can have victory in this marriage. If you're struggling as a dad or as a man or a woman of God, as a wife, as a leader, pray confidently. God, I trust you. I know you're with me. I will face this battle with courage, but you alone provide the victory. Church, we serve a really good and gracious and loving God. A God who is king. A God who is victorious, a God who keeps his promise, a God who will be with us as you face these battles. You can be confident and courageous because not because of you, but because God is with you. Take note that David in this psalm was determined to praise and pray. But we also began and ended this psalm with confidence in God. David knew. He knew he could count on God. His confidence in God never swayed. When you think about your battles, how do you fight them? When you think about your day, how do you start them? When you think about your trust, where do you place it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Church, you can trust him. Be determined to worship God, to pray to God, and to be confident in God. Amen.